Welcome, friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Bill Jack in studio with me from Worldview Academy.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Bill. It's good to have you with us.
Good to be back.
Bill, you're a nice guy.
Hey, Kevin, you know, I haven't been here for a couple of weeks, and then you turn around and insult me. You know, I don't think we need to be nice Christians. When somebody says you're nice, it's really an insult, because the origin of the word nice comes from two Latin parts. The root is the word scire, which means to know. And there is a prefix, however. The prefix is N-E, which means not. So when you say somebody's nice, you're really saying they're ignorant.
So I just called you an ignoramus.
Yeah.
All right. So Bill is not a nice guy.
Now, Jesus wasn't a nice guy.
No,
either.
He wasn't.
I mean, when the woman caught in the act of adultery was dragged before him, did he sit her down and say, you know what? I understand you had an abusive childhood, therefore you have a very low self-image. Mm-hmm. If we could just work on your self-esteem, maybe you wouldn't act out this way. Mm-hmm. No, what did he say to her?
Neither do I condemn you, but go and sin no
more.
Go
and sin. Was that nice? No.
Well, see, he accused her of sin.
Yeah.
He accused her of being wrong. And on top of that, he suggested that he was forgiving her for that.
Yeah. I mean, when he talked to the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, he called them whitewashed tombs full of dead men's bones. Mm-hmm. Was that nice? No. Mm-hmm. Now, Christians should neither be ignorant of what's going on around them, nor should they be so pleasant that they fail to confront the culture with truth.
And Bill, I think that's what's affecting most of Christianity today, is that we're so afraid to speak the truth. We're to speak the truth in love, but nobody wants the speak the truth part of that. They like the love part, but they don't want to come to speak the truth in love. And I think there is this lack of faith, a lack of courage, this lack of confidence in God, this lack of authority, a sense that God is the source of truth. And of course, if we've taken upon ourselves this assumption that man is the source of truth and everybody makes up truth as they go, then the authority of God is reprehensible to the average person today. Well, that's what happened in this Utah classroom. A substitute teacher was hurried off the school property when she made the mistake of telling the class that homosexuality was a sin. Evidently, the children were talking about things they're thankful for. This child was recently adopted by two homosexuals and said he was thankful for that. Well, the staffing company, Kelly Staffing Services, said they were on top of it. Reports of inappropriate behavior were not going to be condoned anymore by Kelly Staffing Services. And it was absolutely ridiculous and horrible what she did. Van Amstel told the Salt Lake newspaper, "We were livid. It's 2019. I mean, this is a public school."
And that's one of the dads.
That's one of the dads.
Yeah. And he said he was just so thrilled with the principal, because the principal escorted the substitute out of the building, telling her, quote, "There's the door. Keep walking," end quote.
Yep. No room at all for any teacher to stand up at this point and say that homosexuality is a sin. Fast forward 40 years, Bill, a man and his dog adopts a child, and a teacher stands up and says, well, now that would be inappropriate. The uproar that would cause in the year 2060. Think about the uproar, the sheer uproar that would cause in the year 2060 if some teacher had the nerve to stand up and say, now, wait a minute, a man and his dog adopting a child. Now, the world is increasingly self-consistent on these things, and I doubt that any of the left-wing organizations who like to critique us would even think of critiquing us on this point for suggesting that all forms of sexuality should be considered normative by those who have completely abandoned the Western Christian ethic. Really, the world is increasingly self-consistent on this. Don't forget it was Peter Singer, ethics professor at Princeton University, that wrote favoringly of such unconscionable behavior as, you know, bestiality in a book review in 2001. So, I mean, don't give me this thing that the world accepts homosexuality but not bestiality. I mean, come on, guys. This isn't 2019. Come on. The world accepts every form of ungodly, abominable sexual activity today. Wouldn't you say that really at this point, university ethics professors are going to say there is no sexual behavior inappropriate?
Right. And now we can take it out of that realm and just look at the issue from a different angle and say, okay, the student said that he was thankful for being adopted by a dad who was a convicted pedophile or a convicted embezzler. Let's just do the embezzler.
Okay.
And the teacher stands up and instead of saying, well, you know, I affirm that, She says, well, you know, stealing is wrong, students, and we shouldn't endorse stealing. Now, nobody would say, oh, that was inappropriate. Why is it that we've allowed certain activity, certain behavior to be defined as being an alternative lifestyle rather than a wrong behavior or sin, as we Christians put it?
I'm not sure I have an answer for that, Bill, except to say that sexual sins get a special pass, probably because the Supreme Court of the United States has approved of just the most abhorrent and abominable form of sexuality.
So now it's, if it's legal,
yeah,
then truth takes a back.
That's right. I think that's where people are today.
Or people are going to say, well, the teacher just shouldn't have said it that way. She shouldn't have she shouldn't have approached that from the classroom in front of 30 students. So now truth is subject to or takes backseat to the context. So you see where the problem is. The problem is not just this particular incident or behavior. The problem is much more deeply rooted in the system itself, which says we hold to secularism over Christianity. And therefore, if you speak out loud as a Christian, and if you condemn behavior that the secular culture has endorsed, then we will say, there's the door, keep walking.
Yeah.
And Christians need to pay attention to this, because it's not just the behavior of two dads. It is any behavior that the secular culture deems unworthy of Christians addressing.
And the secular culture has chosen sexual sin as the sin of choice that is approved of by the zeitgeist in the Supreme Court of the United States, I think largely because these forms of sexual sin have undermined the family and have destroyed our civilization, and is destroying our civilization. This absolutely is under the sovereign control of God. For I think, Bill, what's happening is that God has removed common grace from our civilization, especially to the point at which the civilization has endorsed every abhorrent form of sexuality. And these are the forms by which civilizations are undone. We saw that with the breakdown of the Greek Empire, the Syrian Empire, the Persian Empire, and all the others prior to the coming of Christ. And I think that's what's going on right now with these Western empires. Be back with more in just a moment on The Generations Broadcast. It's hard to imagine Christian pastors going to jail for their faith, and it's just as hard to imagine Christian businessmen fined $135,000 for not baking a cake in celebration of a homosexual wedding. It's hard to imagine America turning into a communist state that persecutes Christians and rewards the most aberrant. Will Christians just let it happen? Should Christians just let it happen? These are important questions, my friends. This is Kevin Swanson, and I wrote the book on freedom because I wanted to build a case for freedom. A biblical case. A historical case. And let me tell you, the history of freedom is the most inspiring story you'll ever read. Have you heard the story of the Magna Carta, Bannockburn, Leyden, and William the Silent? The American Pilgrims and the Battle for King's Mountain. How will we fight for freedom in this generation and the next? Well, tell the story first. The story of freedom. Let's leave a legacy for freedom for our children and our grandchildren. Get a copy of the new book, Freedom for Each of Your Children and Grandchildren, at generations.org. That's generations.org. And we are back on The Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson here with you. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy also. And friends, this teacher in Utah was booted for making the point that homosexuality was a sin. And, you know, it's interesting, Bill, that even the most conservative states now will not tolerate any Christian sexual ethic, even in the grade school classrooms. So things have changed dramatically. It's not as if this would be allowed in Texas, for example. I think the teacher would be booted from a Texas classroom, too. This is a universal thing.
Let me take it one more step. I don't think this activity, this response by the teacher would be accepted in many Christian schools.
Yeah.
I think that Christian schools have already caved on this issue.
That just shows you the power of the zeitgeist, meaning the spirit of the age is very, very strong on this one. And friends, there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacks among the Christians who would say, you know, you shouldn't have said it quite that way. Can't you hear them coming out?
That's the one I love the most. You know what? That's exactly what the Pharisees did to Jesus. They couldn't accuse him of wrongdoing, but they said, basically, I just wish you wouldn't have done it that way. And that's what they're saying to this teacher. You shouldn't have done it this way. So now truth is dependent upon the context, once again. It's dependent upon the situation. And we're now going to shoot the messenger because she brought the message in a harsh way.
Don't forget the Apostle Paul said the time would come in which people would have itching ears who would not receiving the truth. That's pretty much where things are today. I think a 2 Timothy 3:4 scenario is what we're facing today. Friends, read the passage when you get a chance. But here's another example, Bill, of this severe reticence to offend anybody. I think the only ethic left is to be nice. I think that's it. I think that's the last ethic alive in the 21st century. You just got to be nice, which, as we mentioned, is to be ignorant of any truth.
Or so pleasant you don't confront people with the truth.
But here's the Southern Baptist president, J.D. Greer, who says he prefers to call transgender people by their chosen pronouns. Now, this is probably going to be the most important area in which Christians will be tested, as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were tested for not bowing at the idol that Nebuchadnezzar placed outside the capital in 600 or 500 BC. Well, same thing's happening today, calling it a pronoun hospitality. Southern Baptist Convention President J.D. Greer revealed on an Ask Me Anything episode of his podcast that he prefers to call transgender people by their preferred pronouns. There's a spectrum of generosity of spirit, et cetera, et cetera, versus telling the truth, he said. So, you know, be generous. Don't tell the truth when it comes to this matter of preferred pronouns. So I think we're living in an era, Bill, where there just isn't the opportunity for correction. There isn't the John the Baptist standing up and saying the axe is at the root. Who told you to flee from the wrath to come? Jesus referring to whited sepulchers, Elijah mocking the prophets of Baal on Carmel. Very, very rare to find people who write like Martin Luther. Do you remember Martin Luther and how he would write rather acerbic articles towards the those that would oppose the Reformation? Do you remember, you know, I mean, many people still call his table talk and some of those things too offensive, or the way he interacted with Erasmus in The Bondage of the Will is typically seen as just too acerbic. But friends, hey, you know, at points, maybe we need to be a little more Elijah-like. Maybe there's a point and time in which we need to oppose the antithesis with a pretty hard-edged thesis. Maybe that needs to be the case, especially when you're dealing with a thick layer of hypocrisy, pretended Christian ethic, which I'm sure most American public schools are still touting something of a Christian ethic, but it's a very thin-coated white sepulcher that needs to be pressed through by strong words. And we don't have strong words much anymore from the pulpits of this country. I'm just not hearing it. I've been speaking with teachers. I've been speaking with engineers, others that are working in the marketplace, and they tell me that they are risking their job if they don't use the chosen pronoun. But friends, I'm here to tell you that the chosen pronoun is the food offered to idols in our present day. It's the invitation of the pagans for Christians to bow before their wicked ideologies. This is the massive test for Christians in our day. You know, I grew up on the mission field in Japan, and the Japanese Christians were always losing their jobs and kicked out of their homes because they would not bow to the idol shelves in their corporations or visit the graveyards and worship at the shrines. They just wouldn't bow. they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't symbolize any kind of an acknowledgement of the bad ideologies and the idolatries represented by these shrines. Same thing's happening here, friends. And just because we happen to be in America doesn't mean we have a free pass and we can compromise on the key point of the day. Hey, we've got to stand up either Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It may not be the fiery furnace for us. We may just lose our jobs. But it's time for Christians to gain some guts and some courage, some faith in this country. And I understand that with the two kinds of churches in Japan, there was this teeny-weeny church that wouldn't compromise when it came to bowing at the god shelves, and then there were the big churches that would compromise when it came to bowing at the god shelves. And there will be the two kinds of churches here in America as well, those that will stand with courage and faith, as did Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and those that will not.
And that's what happened with Peter Fleming in Virginia. The board fired him when he stated he couldn't in good conscience comply. And so Christians need to realize they're going to face persecution on this issue. This is the spear point against the throat of Christianity in our culture at this time, the whole issue of sexuality.
And the temptation is to be nice. The temptation is not to be offensive. The temptation is not to take issue. See, the point comes, the spear point comes in that very situation in which someone speaks a lie and then invites you to endorse the lie. Now, at that point, here's the question. Will you compromise? Will you bleak? At that point,
the temptation to compromise is so seductive.
It's intense.
It is. And the pressure that is brought to bear, well, for example, Peter Fleming, it's his job. And all he had to do was just comply and say, okay, I'll call her he instead of she. And it's just a little pronoun. Mm-hmm. But he understood words have meaning. He understood that this will affect more than just the use of a name. And we as Christians need to realize that, and we need to realize words have meaning, words carry ideas, and ideas do have consequences.
And there's a bit of a hesitation to offend people. I think that's it, Bill. I just really think
that the truth offends.
People have this impression that if they offend somebody, they have sinned. No. You offend somebody, you may have sinned. It's possible you have sinned, but it's not a sin to offend. Certainly Jesus offended. Certainly Paul offended. Anywhere Paul showed up, there was a revival or a riot, but certainly they did not always serve him tea. The fact is, we're going to offend. It's okay to offend people. Stop being so snowflakey about all of this. We do need to offend people. And, of course, we offend people with the truth. And, again, we're not going to stop with the bad news. That is, what you're doing is wrong. What you're telling is a lie. Your behavior is sinful. We don't stop there. I mean, obviously, we're going to move on. Say, there's room to repent. The axe is at the root. But there is room to repent. There is mercy to be found. Cry out with the publican, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Don't equivocate on the word sinner there either. You know, there is opportunity. God will justify. God will forgive. God will show mercy. But first, you're a sinner. Fall down on your face before God and cry out, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. So friends, again, people don't want to hear the bad news because they're just not prepared to hear the good news. But still, we have the responsibility to speak the truth in love, speak the truth concerning the bad news in love, and speak the truth concerning the good news in love as well. Follow up with the good news, and by God's grace, we will see people converted, and sinners converted is the key. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for repentance. There's more joy in heaven with one sinner that repents than 99 that don't. And so we're looking for more sinners to repent, which means that they acknowledge themselves to be sinner. They hate their sin. They turn to Christ for his mercy because he died on the cross for our sins, that we'd be forgiven and released from our sinful lifestyles. Friends, that's the gospel, and that needs to be taught in the public schools. So if you're a teacher and you're in the public school, be sure you follow up the bad news with the good news. I don't know if that teacher did that, Bill. But I think that's critical.
She was shown the door.
She was shown the door. Maybe she didn't get a chance to get to the good news.
Yeah.
But indeed, friends, we have a responsibility to speak the truth and not to certify a lie. So, again, I tell you, it is not for Christians to call a he a she and a she a he. That's telling a lie. That's speaking a falsehood, a blank-faced lie, and affirming the lying zeitgeist in what it's doing. We don't do that as Christians. We speak the truth in love, and hopefully with courage and with faith, because true Christians will be called to stand on faith in an age of serious compromise and an age of serious and rising persecution against Christians. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. I'd encourage you to reading the great stories of Christians who did take the stand throughout history, despite terrible persecutions. And I tell some of those stories in my book, Taking the World for Jesus, and also the book, The Story of Freedom, which tells of the story of those who stood despite all of the world against them. The odds were completely against them. All of the world was persecuting Christians. It was down to maybe just a handful of Christians in certain periods of world history. And yet, by God's grace, they stood strong, and the kingdom of God pressed forward, and the Church of Jesus Christ continued to be fruitful around the world. These stories told in these books that we have written and provide at a website, generations.org or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.